Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi, Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo from Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. We were off yesterday because the Sabres were playing. And I don't know, did we mind too much being off yesterday?
No.
You know, it's a cool time right now.
No, I didn't mind it at all. I had a really great Sunday evening, and then yesterday was fantastic.
Yep.
I watched more stuff than I have in a long time. Like sports.
Sports stuff?
By Sunday afternoon at 4, I was home, caught the end of the early games, and then right through, I saw Correa's home run.
You did. That was late.
Yeah. Yeah. I woke up when he hit it. I may have fallen asleep somewhere in there, but
your instinct is correct.
But I was still there. I saw it. I was there for the home run. It was like 1 a.m.
What about yesterday? What was on yesterday? The Sabres.
Yeah. There was hockey all day yesterday, starting at like 1 o'clock. The Bruins and the Ducks played, so I watched some of that, and then the Sabres, and then eventually some baseball and football, and yeah, it was all good.
Did you watch the Monday night game?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I got out of it by
so bad
late third quarter, I think. But yeah, the stuff. Sunday was a mess. Sunday was a mess. The Jet Cowboy game, had like seven plays in a row. Like a good dramatic close game. The Cowboys got back in it, made it tight, and then there was flags on like six plays in a row. Just brutal.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that people say is they say things like, this is the worst it's ever been. I'm this close to turning it off. And I don't know if people are that close to turning it off. Like, that's for you to decide. Like, I can't say any of that. I'm not close to turning it off.
No, me either.
I'm not close to turning it off. I was in Orlando for the weekend. I was even there today and flew in today. And I guess I should just get this in. I'm up all night. I had a 7:40 flight this morning. And I get anxious and restless about it. It's like the biggest puzzle to me about me is why I can't just sort of, I understand how safe it is. I just cannot sort of relax for that. So I'm up all night. For some reason, I was just like ruminating about Devonta Freeman from like 2:30 this morning until we had to get up at 5 to get to the airport.
At least you used the time constructively.
I just hate myself in these kind of states. So then I take the Advil PM to relax a little bit, you know, maybe I'll fall asleep, and did not fall asleep on the plane or anything, and now I'm here. So I don't know what that's going to mean. I'll probably screw up a lot, but I'm sure I'll get through it. But the game last night, so maybe this contributed to how I felt about it, because like I was anxious and a little wound up, and it's so dumb. It's just so dumb. The fact that you can review pass interference now, but shouldn't, because, wink, wink, they really don't want to change the call no matter what it looks like. I mean, you see interference. The coaches, this is how we're different than these coaches. These coaches are good soldiers. Like, the coaches should all band together and just challenge pass interference, use all their challenges as soon as possible on any play to just make a point about pass interference. Oh, it has to be clear and obvious, or it has to be the playoffs, or what does it have to be?
It has to be the Super Bowl? Is a wild card game big enough stakes? Like, what exactly, what are we talking about here?
Right. And one of the worst things in sports officiating is always when it's like a even if it's not a big moment or a big game, just like any moment, but especially when the game is on the line and they throw a flag on a penalty that wasn't there. That's worse than the opposite. I think throwing the flag to call a penalty that didn't happen is worse than not throwing the flag to not call a penalty that did happen. Do you see them as the same, or do you see one as worse?
No, I think the former there, the first scenario where you throw it for something that really wasn't there, is creating more of a problem. You're always going to miss calls. I think if you're getting flags for stuff that's not there, it's because no one really knows what they're doing anymore. You know, the officials are gun-shy about it, so they're probably overreacting to stuff. Like the call last night that went against Detroit on the Allison play. Like, Allison got hurt on it. I watched that as it happened and didn't think anything of it. The hit. Like, I recognized the player was down and he was hurt from the collision, but it did not at all look to me like something that should be flagged. And then it was, and I had to like rewind to go back. Like, what did I miss? Like, oh, I didn't really miss anything. They just don't know anymore. I think they're as confused as we are. Maybe the refs. I don't know.
It's interesting to think about it this way, perhaps. Replay came to fruition when the cameras got better, when coverage got better. So now, like, they might have wanted instant replay in the 70s, since when the games, or in the 60s, when games started to be on TV. Somebody in these leagues might have thought, you know, we should have instant replay because now the game's on TV and we could, you know, maybe do a better job. And then you get to like the late 80s and the 90s and there's, I don't know, 10 cameras or whatever at every stadium. Like, okay, now we can do it. Now we can look at these plays from enough angles and the technology exists so that we can do it. Mm. And now the technology is undermining the whole thing. Like, the same logic applies to why we should, you know, if you feel this way, like why you can justify a replay. Because you have more cameras and more just incredible slow motion, super high definition, high clarity pictures to tell you things. But what you also have with it is a proliferation of embarrassing misses by officials, be they penalties that they didn't see or chose not to call or vice versa. And just now it's just rampant. This guy from the Lions who got the two hands to the face penalties last night, Flowers, everything about it is terrible. He gets the first call, which is wrong. He explains to the official what he was doing. I don't know, like the official saw what he saw, I guess. And he does the same thing and gets the same penalty. And they're both critical penalties. They're both huge penalties. The Packer guy has, on the play, his hand in Flowers' face mask. And there's another lineman. There's a picture. Like, you get all this now. It's all so prevalent that we can all see everything now, and it's just ruining it. The another Packer lineman has his hand in the face mask of the Lions guy. You want a still shot everything that happens in the NFL? You really can find holding all over the place.
Yeah, sure.
So if you want to do that, and the league cannot figure out, hockey is terrible at this. You heard Sabres GMs give their arguments over the years, and they're just, you hate these arguments because they are not in the best interest of the sport. They're just so that you don't suffer that awful fate of a bad call that cost you an important game or something. But, you know, sports has made it this far with that.
Right. They're trying to perfect something that is inherently imperfect and always will be. And once you set out on that quest, you are almost surely going to create more problems than you solve. And that's what I think we see. That's why I have been against replay as fervently as I have been for, I don't know, is it 10 years? Is it longer? Whatever it is. I mean, it's been a cause here, and it's worse than it's ever been, I think. I mean, that's how I see it. There's certainly more conversation about it than there's ever been. And you just cannot expect to get everything right. And to me, the safer thing to do in that instance is to just fall back and live with all of it. Because if you can't rectify things that are clearly impacting games like to their detriment. Like you are not fairly reaching a fair outcome often enough. Then what are you doing? Like you call more attention. The fact that they had to appease angry Saints fans or the angry Saints organization or whomever, just football fans in general who just could not live with that outcome last year, has brought more attention to replay, which has caused all of this to be like sound and feel much worse than maybe it ever has. And I don't know that it actually is. It just, you put the focus on the wrong thing yourself. Like you said, we're going to try to rectify this. And so here's what we're going to put in place. Most of your fans all kind of rolled their eyes at it like, okay, good luck with that. And here we are. You have no chance of meeting your objective. Sure, you're going to get some things right that would have been wrong. You're going to correct some stuff. But you're drawing attention to something that can never be perfect and highlighting your imperfections in the process. That's not where you want to be as a business.
Well, it's interesting to think about what they're, you know, when you say they can't meet their objective, it's interesting to consider what their objective or objectives might actually be. You know, it really isn't to call perfect games. The league gets some benefit out of the controversy and the discussion. And this is, you know, this has seemed apparent forever. Like there is some gain to the league when we're talking about these kind of these decisions. I don't really like where I need to end up with this, but it is the only place where I can feel like it's safe to end up. And that is that games like last night make me think rooting for anything in this sport is just silly. Like there is just so much randomness in it, and whether it's bias or just incompetence or both, you really can't take the outcome seriously. And I know like the announcers and sports writers will want to tell you how Green Bay was tougher or just, you know, like they showed poise and these kinds of terms that people use to describe these games. But really, it's all just garbage. Like they won because of a series of mistakes by officials. And like there's nothing more to it. Detroit didn't lack heart or poise. They just didn't get any of those calls. So what are we really saying?
Right, kick fewer field goals, get in the end zone more is to me a mighty cop out. If calls on the field enable your opponent to ultimately beat you, then you did enough. Like you the field goals were okay. You were ahead. You probably should have won the game, but for the ineptitude of the officials. So I don't buy that. I mean, sure, you could have been ahead by more, and you could have been more comfortable in your standing in the game, but you did enough.
Right.
You know, I don't settle for that at all. Like, oh, well, it didn't come down to that. Well, it kind of did.
I agree with that. It's not enough to just beat Green Bay. You have to beat them by more than
right.
X, or else it might not count or something. Like, what are we doing? Why deflect it? You get right into these kind of arguments with people sometimes in terms of politics. Like, just don't deflect it. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about this. And you want to tell me that Detroit should have made more good plays in the first quarter to avoid the risk? Come on.
Right.
What's the real problem? So these leagues are like, so what are they really going for? What they're going for is an audience. It's not wrestling either, but what they want is more than the certain teams. I don't mean like specific teams, but it's a business. It's entertainment. It's more that than it is like competition where we are really going to settle this year who the best team in football is. I mean, you can settle for that. You can talk like that, but it's not really what it's mostly about. It's mostly about, will you watch? If nobody watches, they won't play. If people stopped watching the NFL, they would not play. They would not have any need anymore for competition to determine who the best team is. It just wouldn't exist. It'd be over. So the main reason they exist is for fans. To buy it, to watch it, and to go to it, and to buy it. And, you know, we do. Like, and this is part of it. And this idea that what they're doing with this replay stuff and all these reviews is mostly just so the obvious, this goes without saying, what happened in New Orleans can be avoided. And we don't want to review pass interference against Detroit in October.
Right.
We really just don't want to do that. Coaches think, maybe they stop thinking this, that they should be able to get justice on those plays, but not really, no. And that's an important point. The league is not really there for, in this case, this reveals, they're not really there for justice. They're not really there for, well, that was interference, you're right. The bigger point to them is that we just not slow the game down.
Right, and they want the appearance of justice more than they want justice. They want us to think that they're doing everything they can to have the most just outcome that they can have.
Because they have replay.
Right.
But
which to me
is easily seen through.
Right. And you could just eradicate it and then have all these arguments that we end up having anyways. About these calls that they missed, like we'd still be like complaining about the blown calls and not walking away from it because we're not. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. Like, it makes me crazy, but I, you know, and even having this conversation kind of makes me nuts. But I've done it maybe hundreds of times already, and probably will do it. I hope I live long enough to do it another 100. And it would be the same conversation, except we'd have, well, why don't you have replay? Like, no, that didn't work. Remember? Do you remember the 2020s? It didn't work. So let's get rid of it, and then we'll just argue about the stuff that they had wrong. And some people will say you should add replay. And like those of us who lived through this would be going, yeah, no, that didn't work. You can't have it. It's just not going to be right enough. Just give up. But no, here we are.
There were so many things about that game. Kerryon Johnson's touchdown, it was fourth and goal, and he gets the touchdown. It looks like maybe he didn't. There's a review, or there's a replay, or there isn't. It's a scoring play, so it's, you assume, I guess, it's supposed to be automatically reviewed, and I guess it was. I was at the Polynesian for this play. Joe, are you familiar with the Polynesian?
Yes, I am familiar with it.
Where does it rank for you?
Actually,
you stayed at the Polynesian?
I think so.
I keep meeting people who stayed at the Polynesian. I ask people, where's your favorite Disney hotel? They'll say the Polynesian.
Is it because of the grass skirts or something?
Pineapple drinks, grass skirts, Hawaiian theme. I mean, yeah, they have jet skis. Polynesian is a good time. I'm sitting last night at the Polynesian and Kerryon Johnson. The play before, I thought he was in. It's third and goal at the one. He sort of goes forward and then is pushed back and he's called short. There's no instant replay from ESPN. There's no replay of the play, and there's no replay on the field. There's no stoppage. The Lions would have had, like, this is how stupid it is. If you're like an open-minded, sort of like a thinker, you know, you appreciate how stupid the whole thing is. For that touchdown to have been considered and maybe counted, the Lions would have had to
challenge that.
Initiate it. They would have had to challenge it, and they don't because it's 4th and inches, and they'll just take their chances.
Right. So shouldn't a play that could be a scoring play be subject to automatic review as well? If like the following play is automatically reviewed, what I noticed about that play, I think it's that one. You've got one official who runs in from the bottom of the screen signaling touchdown, and the guy that comes in from the top of the screen signals first down, Green Bay.
Exactly. The referee, the top official says he's short.
Right.
And the referee says first down, Green Bay.
Okay.
And then, I mean, we're at the Polynesian. Like, everybody's laughing about this. We're just laughing at the NFL.
Because one official on the field did raise his arms up, that got automatically reviewed. If that guy hadn't gone this, then Detroit would have had to challenge that too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which maybe they do.
Yeah, right, because it's fourth down, and then you're going to lose the ball. Right, not and the points.
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
Nice night. I lost to you in fantasy. I'm in all these leagues, right? I was 13-2 this week in my games. I lose to you and my wife. Like, the two people I spend the most time with who care the absolute freaking least about fantasy football. I don't lose to Joe. I don't think I played Joe. I don't lose. Like, I beat a lot of people this week who care a lot.
Right.
I lose to you, and I lose to her.
We had you. Well, obviously, we had you by enough going into last night. But going into the, like, even, like, halftime of the 4 o'clock games, we had you by so much. But Kyler Murray went insane, I think. And then Hooper, maybe the Atlanta tight end. You had a couple of guys that really, so it ends, and I'm like, we're only 23 ahead? It's just one of those tricks that can play on you. Like, we were so far in front all day that I was like, oh, we're on autopilot. And then last night I'm like, he's not going to get 24 points this time.
It was gettable.
It was gettable.
If he had broken one run
after
scoring the first one, then he had it.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
Didn't happen, yeah.
So I lose to you and I lose to her.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. 803-0550 is the number. All right. We'll talk a lot today. You can call in. There's, of course, like Bills Dolphins coming up. 16.5. I've got a question for you about Miami. The Sabres. Hi. 5-0-1. You know, what are we saying? What are we talking about at work? What do you think? Like, is this for real or what is this? That's what we're talking about at this work, too. And lots of others. NFL. I got to tell you about my trip a little bit. You took a trip, too. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, you look at what happened yesterday, and they made a switch again. So we'll definitely watch tape on both quarterbacks and try to be prepared for whichever one they decide to start. And if they do decide to switch in the course of the game, hopefully we'll be prepared for that as well. But we're definitely going to watch tape on their quarterbacks and get a feel for each one of them.
Leslie Frazier, what a time to be alive. The Bills, a 16.5-point favorite against Miami. Those of us that are a certain age, it means a little bit more because Miami just owned the Bills like the Patriots do now for a decade. Anyway, so it's that team. 16.5, if it ends there, would be the biggest line the Bills are a favorite for since 1992. And like they had, I think it's 10 games from the Super Bowl years where they were favored by two touchdowns or more. I saw a list. But never since have they been a two-touchdown favorite, and they should eclipse that this week. Amazing.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, who knows? I mean, what could happen? Something could happen, but yeah, it's not going to go down 3 points or something, 2.5 points by. I wouldn't think by Sunday.
I don't even know what could do it.
Right.
Does Ryan Fitzpatrick move the line toward Miami? I mean, it doesn't sound like he starts anyway. It'd be more fun if he did.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it doesn't sound like he finished the game, right? And then they wouldn't commit, so
I think it's Rosen, but
yeah, okay.
What is it, Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe we'll find out more tomorrow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's Rosen, but
okay. It should be Rosen. I mean, I don't know what you're doing if you know.
But. It should be for them, but like they couldn't even keep him.
Right.
I heard today 2.3 seconds is like his drop back time before the pass rush gets to him.
Yeah.
The lowest in the NFL. Think about 2.3. That's how much time he has to throw the ball. 2.3 seconds. So, but Fitz goes in and he's Fitz. They come back.
Right.
You see the end of the game?
I did not see the end of the game. Oh, wait. Yes, I did.
Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, Kenyon Drake dropped the...
They score a touchdown with seconds to play. It's 14-13 or 17-16, one of the two. They're down a point. They go for two. And they have Drake come in motion from out wide to the left. The pass, it's just a quick pass to Drake, who's then going to cut like 90 degrees, going to cut left and hope to get in, and hits him in the hands and he drops it.
Right.
There goes that.
Didn't look really great for him to score.
No.
There with the traffic that was there if he had caught the ball cleanly, but, you know, whatever.
Got to catch the ball.
Yeah, you got to make the play. Yeah.
It's just amazing like that the Dolphins are one thing and the Bills are another. That they would be this big a favorite. You know, what's the Washington line likely to be in 2+ weeks? Here's CJ with us. Hello, CJ.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me chime in here. And so let me just preface this by saying I'm 30 years old, so my Bills fandom, you know, has been very underwhelming and disappointing, to say the least, through my entire life here. So I'm flying out to Vegas tomorrow, actually, with family for vacation, and I'm looking at the board. And not only are the Bills showing as either 16.5 or even 17-point favorites at some board that I'm looking at, but we're the biggest favorite of the week by a full touchdown. The next two closest games are New England over the Jets, and then the 49ers on the road over the Redskins. And I've never seen the Bills being the biggest favorite of a week my entire life. So it's just, it's really funny to see whether it's the Bills getting respect because of their defense or if Miami is just that big of a tire fire. So it's nice to see that we're, you know, the biggest favorite of the week for probably the first time in my life ever. So
that's possible. I'm not sure it would be true, but that's possible. If it obviously, if it's not true, it hasn't happened very often.
Right.
You have the Bledsoe year where they played doormats late that year and just blew them all out almost. San Francisco, Miami was one of those. It was a closer game, but they were like a big favorite against them. They might have been, but still, the point holds.
Right. And look, I would think, you know, obviously everything is cooked into that number. But I guess we talked about this last Sunday after the Titans game, or if it wasn't on Buffalo Bills Football Monday following the Tennessee game, either way, maybe it was right after the game because we didn't know a line yet. By Monday, we would have known a line. And someone called us and said, what do you think? Well, you know, the bye coming up and what happens. And I had a hard time seeing a number get that big because the Bills aren't scoring that much. Because I started there, I'm thinking I underestimated just how bad Miami is viewed. You know, like that it doesn't matter if your offense isn't piling up points. You're playing them, you should win by 20. Like that's what they're telling you. They're so bad you're gonna get your points on them and they can't move the ball.
Well, think about the numbers a little more. So it's 16.5 and 40. You know, a line like 16.5, when it's a New England game, you'd see a bigger total almost always. But you see 40 because, you know, the Bills' offense isn't much. So it's 16.5 and 40. That means the projected score of this game is 28.25 to 11.75. 28 to 11 or 28 to 12 is what they're seeing here. 28. If the Bills did that against the Giants.
Right.
So what that says is, you know, you're trying to read the Bills. You want to see 30 points here. Like, yep. You want to see, even if it comes on defense, you want to see 30 points here in this game. This is just like a new reality here, at least for this week, as they are such a big favorite. And if Miami scores two touchdowns in them, that's the over. Two touchdowns on the Bills' defense, that's the over. That's enough. Like, the 11.75 is so small for this. I'll tell you what. Florida for the weekend. I'm with my wife's family and talked to a lot of people, made a lot of new friends out of different bars and different places over the few days. And the Bills, like, so I'm watching with my brother-in-law, I'm watching the Houston-Kansas City game. And Houston wins, right? Kansas City, what? They get, not a fluke play, but they get the Tyreek Hill touchdown in the beginning on a free play. They only throw it because it's offside, so it's like a free play. They hit on that. He wasn't even open or anything, but they hit on that, and they don't do a lot more. Like, that's not even the real story. The real story is they cannot stop you. Indianapolis and then Houston just controlled the ball.
Yeah, right.
And Houston ran tons more plays than the Chiefs. So I'm watching that game going, here's another team, and this is the same thing I thought about watching them lose to Indianapolis. Here's a team that never did I think the Bills could compete with. But now I'm asking. And look, I don't know how to walk into this point exactly. I've thought about it, and I'm on the Advil PM, and I'm really not sure how to do it.
Okay. Right.
But
let's sort it out.
When can we talk about the Super Bowl? Never? Like, if the Bills were the same team, but a team that had had more recent success, an Atlanta or a Dallas or a Seattle, a team that has been to the playoffs a few times, and you sort of, like, getting to the playoffs and losing right away is not a good season for those teams.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, for the Bills 2 years ago, it was like a parade. Getting to the playoffs and losing right away was a big thing. For a lot of teams, it would not be a big thing, obviously. This season seems so locked in with that schedule that if New England is New England and the Bills play, you know, their schedule out like most people think they will, they'll win against a lot of bad teams. They'll probably lose a few, 10-6 or something, go to the playoffs, and they're going to go to some, you know, they'll go to Baltimore, they'll go to Houston or something, even Kansas City, they'll go and play a game like that. You you lose that game, say, and then you take stock of your season and be like, well, that's a good season.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about bigger. I want to bring up bigger. I want to bring up a bigger outcome than that.
All right.
Because your past really shouldn't be a factor.
That's right.
In it. It shouldn't really be about, well, we never go to the playoffs, we never win, so right. 1995, et cetera.
Right. I wouldn't worry about any of that myself. I mean, I guess now, because you just did it, but you're asking when would I think about it? Get me through the Dallas game with I can't add that up that quickly, but I got to take care of the two of these next three here. And that gets me to 6-2 halfway through the season. Then I, Cleveland, Miami, Denver, I don't know, maybe it's a lot to ask. I get all three of those, which doesn't seem like that impossible at all, given the caliber of the, who you're playing. Then I'm 9-2 going to Dallas at Thanksgiving. Then I'm thinking about being a game behind New England, or who knows? They have a stretch of their season where it's not all walkovers for them. They've got some games in a row here. New England does. So if I can stay within a game of them, then I think it's right to talk about the Super Bowl, because I'm going to go there having played them really tough here to begin with. And I'm not going to be thinking about just that, oh, here we go, it's New England, I can't win this game.
Keep it close.
Keep it close. Right. I'm going to go in there. That'll be when it's time to think about beating them, to me. Really, can I do this? And so if I get to where that's what I'm thinking about, the division is in play, then I'm thinking about the Super Bowl. Then I'm thinking about this could be that year. But I don't think before that. I'm going to need more than just 6-2, I'm going to need to get to Thanksgiving and be like, wow, I can't believe that record.
The schedule is such a weird twist on this season. The schedule the Bills play and the schedule the Patriots have played. Everybody knows New England's history, and they deserve all the respect and everything, all the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know how much better they are than the Bills this season. They don't really have games yet themselves where they tell me that. And the question I then think of is, do I need that? Can I settle for the fact that they won the Super Bowl last year? Or do I need to see them play somebody other than the Jets, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Redskins? That's the Bills and the Steelers. That's their six games. And they play the Jets again Monday night. That's almost halfway through the season. That's their schedule. There's nothing there. There's nothing there that tells you anything about them.
Right.
You can look to the Bills game and this was a really close game. They had 11 first downs. Should I assume when they play them next time, they will have a respectable number of first downs? I don't know. So I just don't want to be close to it, because it's the season is live.
Right.
And it's right to be open to different outcomes. Just sort of necessarily. And I just think that what happened over the years is really not too relevant to what this is. And the schedule is so freaky. My brother-in-law said, I was with him, I told you, he's like, that might be the easiest schedule ever.
Yeah.
And the Jets have it too. If you look at the Jets, they're 1-5 now, almost, how did Joe put it last week in sports? Almost definitely out of it. Because nobody makes it from 0-5. But look at the stretch of games they have after they get past their next two. It's the worst. It's the Dolphins twice. It's the Redskins. It's the Bengals.
Right.
It's the Giants. They'll be favored in all those games. They can get to 500 without too much trouble.
Right. Right. The Patriots stretch that I'm referring to is they have the Jets this Monday. Then they host the Browns. They've got at Baltimore on that Sunday night, the 3rd of November. Then they have a bye. But that Baltimore, that's a step up from what they've had so far, for sure. Then it's at Philly, home for Dallas, at Houston, home for Kansas City.
All right, that's hard.
That is a stretch again. They could lose two of those games. I don't know. Yeah. And they could lose any of them. But I think coming out of that with two losses would be a good job. So that sets you up at three games to go, And you know, where am I? Where am I by then? Like I was talking about getting to Dallas with only two losses. So, you know, it's close. Like you could be a game behind them going in there to play them. And that if that is playing out, like I don't know when the drop dead date for them to decide when those games are going to be that weekend, because that Bills-Patriots game is subject to being moved into Saturday. That's why it still says TBD on the schedule. If it's tracking like that, I looked at it, and Sal wrote about it. We're going to talk to Sal in 15 or 20 minutes here. I think the Rams and the Niners are in there as a game that could be moved, and that could be pretty juicy. But I think if Bills-Patriots, like both of those teams are cruising along with like 9 wins when they got to make the decision, that's going to be a very appealing game, I think, to move into the Saturday window somewhere, if not Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. How about what the 49ers just did to the Rams? I mean, they're just suddenly the Rams had no ability to throw passes. No, there's no numbers from that game from the Rams. Really, just at home. Really interesting. San Francisco might be good.
Yeah.
All right, we will take a break. Bulldog mentioned. Sal coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Cam has epitomized, you know, what we asked of him of being a captain. He's been there in support of his teammates. And when we met and talked about this, you know, we told him, hey, we're not going to put pressure on you. We're going to hold tight. We'll hold the fort down. Our guys will play. So until, you know, he's 100%, until he's ready to roll, we're not going to address it.
Okay. Ron Rivera, what happens in Carolina when Cam Newton is healthy? Rivera taking the side door here. I'm not going to tell you until it's time to decide. He might be secretly hoping they lose one so that
right.
He can just put that. Now he can easily justify putting Newton back in, which probably should be the move. But if they win every single game under Kyle Allen, as they've done, then I don't know. It's harder.
Yeah.
Do you think he is secretly hoping that they lose their next game? They're off this week, right?
Yes, they are. They are. No. Hoping they lose.
That's a lot. You're right.
But... okay, well, we lost.
Cam.
That's different. Like there's a certain amount of relief that would but going into it, no, I think you want to win the game and then you're going to have to make a decision, and it certainly is complicated if the guy wins a fifth consecutive start. You know, undrafted free agent. But no, I don't think hoping to lose, no.
No. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Baseball is about to start for the day. Yankees, Astros, game 3 in New York. Tonight is game 4, St. Louis at Washington. Washington going for the sweep.
I was out Saturday watching some of, I guess that would have been game 2 of that series. The NLCS was game 2 on Saturday. They opened on Friday, I think. I didn't see any of the games.
Sounds
Friday.
Right.
Because, yeah, they would have traveled, and then yesterday was game 3 in Washington.
They were both near no-hitters.
Yeah. Saturday, I went to meet a bunch of parents. I was in Cleveland, and the game had started, and I got to a place we all gathered, you know, close to the rink, and my phone had buzzed, and it said something about 6 no-hit innings. I didn't even know the pitcher. I saw an S. I thought it was Scherzer, but it wasn't. It was
Sanchez.
Sanchez, right.
Friday night.
Okay. Well, that was an old notification then. Anyway, I walked
in. They both did it.
They both did it. Okay.
Yes. They both start with S. They both did it.
They both did it. Okay.
Yes.
So I walk in the bar, and I'm like, what is even happening here? But I sort of forgot about it, and then last night I sat down to watch the game, and they just very casually said that the Cardinals have 3 hits total in the 2 games so far. And I'm like, what? What is even happening?
And then Strasburg completely shut them down, too,
right.
Last night.
Good for us for that.
I like it when, you know, you have these teams, you can think of them, who earn a reputation for coming up short. And then years go by and they roll out new teams, and they get talked about as teams that shouldn't win because in the past they came up short. It just means nothing. It means nothing that Washington lost all its game 5s when they went to play the Dodgers. It just meant nothing. and then they won.
Yep.
How is that supposed to happen if you, the world you live in tells you you're not supposed to be able to do anything but repeat the past?
I always end up rooting for narrative busters. Yeah, for sure. And they're a new example of that. You know, you can go, the Washington Capitals would come to mind as,
right,
as such a team. Like, they're never going to, and then they did it.
And they won.
Like, okay.
And then the Blues were the same thing.
Right.
The Blues are at the White House right now.
Yeah.
There's a ceremony.
Saw that.
The Blues are in Washington to play the Capitals. That's already their second game with the Capitals. They opened with the Capitals.
That's right. Yeah, so they're done with them. Yeah. I mean, those teams are still in opposite conferences, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
We'll talk about the Sabres. We haven't done so yet today. They're out west. They're probably traveling now. They'll play Anaheim, or they're already?
They went last night right after the game. Well, yesterday afternoon they traveled, so they got there last night.
Sorry, so good. They'll play Anaheim tomorrow night. That's 10 our time, and then L.A. the next night. That's 10:30. And then after that, their next two games are both against San Jose. There Saturday, and then here a week from tonight. But yeah, they're out west for the rest of the week. 5-0-1. What is up with that? What is going on? Sal Capaccio, as the Bills come off the bye to play the Dolphins, and they are a 16.5-point favorite. What really is going on? I'm really asking. Sal on the subject after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.